Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. As you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, we rarely have a guest at the very beginning unless they're show business royalty. Daryl Hammond qualifies easily. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Really?
Really?
Absolutely.
We really want to know.
I want to know if you remember us. We were on at the Loop radio station, and you were booked on the Danny Bonaducci show, and yeah. We poached you.
We totally stole you. This was 25 years ago.
Was it 25?
It was quite a while ago.
1996, was it?
Yep.
Maybe even before that.
Maybe a little earlier, yeah. I'll tell you, I'll use it a reference so you'll know how early it was. You, of course, you were on Saturday Night Live, but they would not let you do Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, they thought it would be too upsetting
for you to do. Oh, yeah, that's when they had people show up, lawyers show up with like an artist's palette, and there was 7 shades of makeup, and
yeah.
They tried on the 7 shades to see which one would be offensive.
To see which one would be.
Wait, you know, that's offensive. No, but in a white guy wears that, that's offensive.
But did you do that as part of your audition for the SNL, didn't you?
I did, but I also did him on air, I think, 4 times. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Twice with Keenan, and then I believe two Weekend Updates.
Wow. Wow.
But yes, that was a fair amount of time ago.
And you also used to call us. We worked overnights, correct?
Yeah, late
at the
night.
Time.
Yeah.
And you used to call us on Thursday nights and just check in when you were doing your dress rehearsals. Any of this ringing a bell?
Yes.
And then you would just put people on the...
You'd say, here's Jim Brewer.
Here's
we talked to Jim Brewer. Here's Chris Kattan. Yes. And we talked to Chris Kattan.
We miss you.
That's before it all went bad. Before the world went to hell. Well, you could have a collegial atmosphere among performers.
Now, you have brought a guest and co-worker, I guess, with you.
She's, you do it.
It's Kendall Ketchum.
Hi.
A stand-up comic.
Kendall.
Hi. I've been opening for Daryl for about 3 years now. Something like 3 years.
Yeah. Do you hand-pick your opening act? Is that how it goes? I don't know. I never did stand-up.
I hand-picked her. I always found out that if a woman opened for me, it was a better show.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, for a long time, I thought I had the answer to it. But I don't really know.
Any woman at all?
Well,
hopefully a stand-up.
Funny one.
Somebody funny.
Here's Dr.
Jokes.
Janet Feingold, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
So I saw Kendall at Caroline's, and she was funny. Real funny. And also... really good with the crowd.
Yeah.
So I proposed her and you said yes right away. And
yeah, there was zero hesitation on my part.
Sure.
When that phone call came in.
Yeah, I bet.
Have we done any hell gigs together?
Yeah.
Any what?
Hell gigs.
Those are nights that just nothing goes right.
Now, you're a former stand-up, so you would know that. I had no idea.
I'll put it this way. I did a speech in Altoona, Pennsylvania last year.
Yeah.
And I was living in L.A. at the time. It took me total travel time to get to this $7,000 job from Los Angeles, 31 hours.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's Altoona. You can't get there.
Right.
Right? So I'm flying, let's see, 5 hours, 6 hours across the coast. Then I'm driving down to Altoona. That's another 7 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And then by the time you get there, being funny is like the last thing in your mind, right?
Yeah. And then, and I thought, 30 hours of travel for $7,000. I've done better than this in my career.
But from where I'm sitting, I'm like, $7,000.
Right.
Absolutely.
No, but I mean, I was doing a speech at the Penn State had an I don't know, what do you call
graduation?
It? Annex, subdivision. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They had a part of their campus, and of all places, Altoona.
Hmm.
And what did you talk about?
I talked about this book about child abuse. I wrote a book, God, If You're Not Up There.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, it's a New York Times bestseller. And it's out on Audible Books right now. It's Amazon Editor's number one pick this week.
You've been very candid about it. Your childhood was very rough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote a play about it.
Yeah.
I wrote a book about it. There's a documentary coming out next week.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Is it next week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
In New York City about
it. That's great.
Where do we see it if we aren't in New York City?
I just got like a whole bunch of literature on it. Well, I'll get it to you.
All right,
that's
cool.
Fine. That's fine.
Yeah, they added another showing. It was made by Geraldine Dreyfuss, the Oscar-winning documentary maker.
Yeah.
5 years they followed me around.
Wow. Do you think comedy became an escape for you, having such a rough childhood? Did you turn to comedy to make things make sense in your life?
Part of the reason I did it was because it made my mother laugh. And, when she came in the room and she sort of had that look in her eye when she was going to pick up the ball peen hammer,
yeah,
you could, divert her a little bit. She was pretty good at doing voices anyway.
Yeah.
But if you could get her talk, I learned early to entertain, be funny. All the time.
Yeah.
Be funny. Here they come. Here she comes again. Do Popeye. Here she comes.
Are there regrets in that, Daryl, that you were funny all the time?
When I saw this documentary, I guess it's getting some good play. It was at the Michael Moore Film Festival and got a lot of attention out there. And the book is actually a good book, I have to say. But not that I'm a great writer. It's just there's some weird stories in there. I saw the film and I got a little bitter.
Did you? Why bitter?
I was like, oh, man, that was a crappy upbringing. Because in the movie, we go back into the house where all of these things happen.
Yeah.
Was that your first time back?
Yeah. It was hard enough even to find it, It's like these row of small, lower class, we were lower class income, low income people, where all the homes look almost the same. And of course, they've been painted on and added to over the years, and the yard's not there anymore. And, but the hibiscus bush, which is the centerpiece of the whole book, was there.
Yeah.
See, I wanted to call the book Hibiscus Bush, but they love that God. If not up there, I'm blank.
Blanked.
Yeah. I love hibiscus. I have a hibiscus tattoo. I just think it's the most beautiful flower ever.
Yeah.
Do you think, now you've been around some of the funniest people of our generation, both through stand-up and Saturday Night Live, would you say that that's the story more times than not, that people that go into comedy are doing it as some sort of an escape or not?
I would present that to Kendall, because I always say just because you're effed up doesn't mean you're fun, doesn't make you funny.
Right.
And yet a lot of funny people have had some demons.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that making sense?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like it's that's your coping mechanism. I mean, it's not that I feel that. That's proven.
Well, when you're 7 years old and you do a decent Popeye, you're totally going to get, the girl's going to skate with you. You go to the skating rink every weekend, and these little girls out there, and you start doing Popeye, and
the world's yours.
I didn't know Popeye was a skater.
Oh, yeah. Big skater.
But making people laugh, they're like, they wanted you around,
Sure. Yeah. You're everybody's friend. Mm-hmm. Daryl Hammond is here. Kendall Ketchum is here. They're performing at Zany's. Zany's in Rosemont, Saturday night. Go to zanys.com. All your ticket information is there. We'll take a little break and then continue in just a minute.
We'll be right back.
Talk about Kendall Ketchum.
All right. Coming up next. Daryl Hammond's here. He's performing at Zany's in Rosemont tonight, tomorrow night. Go to zanys.com for all your ticket information. He's on Twitter, at Daryl C. Hammond. He's brought Kendall Ketchum with him. She is the opening act. When did you realize, besides Popeye, that you could make a living at this? That you weren't just good at voices, Daryl, but you could make a living doing it?
I didn't know that I could. I knew that I waited tables from the age of 21 to 29. And I quit one day. And I said to myself, I'm living at my parents' house or in one of their cars. They had a Plymouth, a blue Plymouth.
Yeah.
Chrysler Plymouth. And I was like, I'm going to live in that car. I am not ever going to wait another table. I'm never going to let anyone talk to me like that again.
Yeah.
Because, some people are cut out for it.
Imagine now in today's environment what it's like to be a server. That's what I couldn't take.
Yeah, I mean, some people would if they say to you, "Is the pastrami lean? Because you're not lean, and I want it." You're like, no, but it's a fatty food.
Don't you want your pastrami fatty?
No, I want it lean. Or is this piece of hot? Because you're not hot, I want it. Now, some people are fine with that, but 8 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And so I quit. And
are you a good tipper now because of that past experience?
Kendall knows I'm disgusting.
He is one of the most impressive tippers I have ever
come
across. Because it is a hard life.
Yeah. I mean, we could be somewhere for 2 seconds, and
I mean, it is hard.
He tipped very well.
Did you wait tables?
No.
Oh, my
Thank
goodness.
God.
Man, that was
not easy. Not easy. Which are the
so anyway? I made up my. Sorry,
that's right.
That's when I changed my major to business administration. This is when the story gets interesting. Sorry.
Which of the impressions are you most proud of? Is there one or two that you just go, I know I do a lot of them and they're good, but this one or these two?
Oh, I would have to say Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
But
yeah.
I mean,
that you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of other ones that I used to do that you know, I never did on the air. Like I, at the time, I thought I did a good Tiny Tim. I thought I did a good, you know, Wolfman Jack.
Oh, really?
You know, there's lots of.
Let me hear some Tiny Tim and Wolfman. Come on,
I can't do either one of them now. Now I started smoking again.
Wolfman Jack smoked, I bet.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know. It's been a long time. That was like three drugs ago.
For some reason,
that was like during the Special K. Yeah.
As soon as I would see the set, you guys would come out of commercial, and I would see that it's the Regis and Kelly set.
Yes,
I would start laughing immediately. That was just such a perfect impression, the Regis Philbin.
Yeah, and it was weird because you know Dana Carvey gave me. Well, I have a great history and a good friendship with him. He did it so well.
Yeah.
But I found this one nasality thing, and then the whole say things twice. You know, Regis says things twice. The second time, it makes him mad. You know, Joy and I were in a cave down in Tijuana that was 1,000 years old. It was 1,000 years old! Yeah. I remember there's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, that's a good one. And then Chris Matthews. Boy, sometimes if I wasn't looking, I thought it was Chris Matthews. It was so,
so
perfect.
Good.
What are you doing? Stupid. Dumb. He called me. It was a year ago he was still calling me.
Really?
What are you doing? I have an upset stomach. Pepsi AC. Frown upside down.
I got to be honest with you. I had no idea who Chris Matthews was
really?
When you first started doing it. And then I looked it up and you were better than Chris Matthews.
So at some point you've done the impression for the person. They have seen you do it. What's that like when they're right there in front of you? Always good?
I think after my first show at SNL, I went out there as Ted Koppel, and it was a solid impression. But I was so frozen with utter terror that the piece bombed. And what that taught me was if you ever let yourself get that scared again, you should shoot yourself.
Wow.
Or retire.
Yeah.
You can control that. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Right? Because I let myself get terrified, and I went out, I did a decent Ted Koppel, but, you know, the guy wasn't funny. You know, I mean, like, you know what? When Lauren hired me, he's like, I know you can duplicate people, but can you be funny?
Yeah.
You know, you have to italicize it a little bit and be funny. You can't just, like, do the impression, you
right.
know? So after that, very little, at least in performance life, very little rattled me after that.
Good.
I bombed and I knew the price of getting that scared. So it's either retire.
Yeah.
Or get a hold on yourself. Okay, pal?
Sure.
You know, yeah. That was hard.
Valuable yeah. lesson, though.
Ted Koppel. Ted Koppel, so ABC News. Yeah.
And I know this one goes back a little bit, too, but the Phil Donahue made me cry.
Because they're the same voice.
Is it? Yeah.
Except Phil's on the front like, you're a blue collar guy. You're married 20 years to the same gal. How many times can you eat lasagna? I mean, come on. But then you just move it to the back of the throat and it's Dean Campbell. Shake your love. You just can't shake your love. Sorry. I over-caffeinated, obviously.
No, every time I see Bill Clinton, I think of you.
Really?
Yeah.
How
every
come?
Time. Just the thumb up. It was just... It was
you know,
just,
he never did that.
No, I mean, but you did.
He did it one time. And then one time I was at the Cellar and I did it... Like, I bit the lip and did the thumb at the same time. And then we did it on SNL. And then that was how everyone did Bill Clinton. But
yeah.
Remember when Dana was doing George Sr., that's became how you did them, like Nakanda,
right?
Nakanda, because that was so wildly fabulous.
But Daryl, look at the evolution on SNL of how they portrayed the presidents. When Chevy Chase did Gerald Ford, he didn't look like him, he didn't sound like him, he didn't act like him, and people accepted it somehow.
And Gerald Ford didn't fall that much either.
He fell once.
One time,
yeah.
I can't explain that.
Did you watch a show called The Copycats when you were young?
I did.
What'd you think? For people who
What's
don't know,
that?
It was a syndicated show where they had all the best impressionists of the time. It was Rich Little, Frank Gorshin, Joe Baker, George Kirby, Marilyn Michaels. Who am I leaving out?
Fred Travellina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would do scenes as, you know, different characters. But what kind of an impact did that show have on you? Any at all?
No. At the time, I didn't. I wasn't considering, you know, trying to make a living. At the time, I was still trying to become a Major League Baseball player.
Really?
That's what I wanted to do.
What position are you best at?
Not any of them, really.
Then that's going to be hard to be a professional baseball player.
I mean, I was good at high school left fielder. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that show didn't make you say, boy, that would be fun to do that.
No, I didn't do that until I quit waiting tables and knew I was going to, I knew I could be okay being poor.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be fine. I will be poor. I won't have checks. I won't have money. I won't have nothing. But I'm not going to let people talk to me like that again.
Yeah.
You know? And once I put myself in that space, and I got this book by Williams Deming about how they rebuilt Edwards Deming, how they rebuilt Nagasaki after the war, small incremental changes and improvement. And I said, I'm going to get so damn good, people are going to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that at the age of 27.
Wow.
Yeah.
Documentary, keep us posted on that. Is it the same name as the book?
The documentary is called Cracked Up.
Okay.
Can't wait to see it.
I hear it's a goodie.
Good, 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 good.
Will you be announcing yourself at the Zanies shows tonight?
No, I won't. How do you like them apples, lady?
Daryl Hammond.
It's not that easy to make you laugh.
Yes, it is.
It isn't.
I'm easy.
You don't give it up that easy.
We're big fans of yours and have been. We've asked to have you come in every time you've been through Chicago. It is awesome to see you.
It's awesome to see you.
Please come back.
You're the best.
Hola, namaste, y'all.
Daryl Hammond and
Kendall, great to meet you.
Great to meet y'all. They're performing. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Zanies.
Kendall is funnier than me and better looking.
Oh, how about that? The 1-2 punch.
You can see she's got it all, folks.
Go see him at Zanies, everybody. Friday and Saturday night. Zanies.com has your ticket information. Thanks again, guys. Greatly appreciate it. Some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.